Bonjour, friends. It's Dr. Chrissy here. Welcome to the Whole Body Optimism Podcast. Here at Whole Body Optimism, we are more than just an optimistic mindset. My goal is to transform your life by adopting a lifestyle that nourishes not only your mind, because true well-being goes way beyond just positive thinking. I want to thank you for listening in today. If you haven't already, please subscribe, follow, and download this episode. Are you planning a trip somewhere where you don't have Wi-Fi access and need a podcast on hand? Well, have no fear. My podcast is here for you. Download this episode and you won't be stuck without listening to something that you don't want to hear when you don't have Wi-Fi. You won't regret it. I'm sharing some life-altering information here. Things that should just stop you in your track and rethink your whole clean living journey. If you're curious about clean living and you want to give it a try, please check out my clean pantry swaps. Download my top free go-to 20 items that I have just cleaned out our pantry and swapped to. The link is in the podcast notes, so check it out. On the list, I've actually made it where it's so easy for you to use, where there's a hyperlink on the item that's the clean one. So you just hover over your mouse over the clean item on the right side of the sheet, and it just clicks right to your Amazon account, and you can quickly add those items to your pantry. And voila, you have a clean pantry in your household. It's that easy. Let me know what your favorite one. I'd love to hear what you guys are trying. Okay, so let's get started to today's article. In today's episode that I have for you, I consider it a review article. And this is a article that reviews the scientific information about this particular topic. I hope you enjoyed the article that I reviewed last month. And I want to start exploring this gut bacteria more and how it's connected to our nervous system. In case you missed it, go back to episode 1 and check it out. There is some crucial information in that episode that I will highlight here in this episode, but I go to more in detail on that first episode. Today I want to take you on a journey on another article about the gut microbiota again. Oh, the bacteria, it's getting so much attention. So today the article is called The Gut Cardiovascular Connection, New Era for Cardiovascular Therapy, and this was published in 2021. I will put a link in the podcast notes so that you can simply just click on the link and it'll take you right to the article if you want to read more in detail. Now let's first refresh on some of the things that we talked about on the last article review episode. Again, that was episode 1. Go back to it if you want to refresh. Let's talk about the gut microbiota. This gut microbiota is of great significance in our overall health. There are over 1 trillion intestinal bacteria that are biologically active currently in all our guts, okay? So these bacteria not only act to digest food, but they also synthesize vitamins and also regulate our immune system. The gut microbiota is a relatively stable organization and has a symbiotic relationship to the host, aka me and you. They, you know, depend upon us. So let's review symbiosis again, if you forgot about this. So remember, symbiosis means that we feed off something and they feed off of us. Well, when the gut microbiota is stable, it actually prevents the overgrowth of bad bacteria. The gut bacteria can affect distant cells and organs via a variety of biochemical and biological signals or metabolites. The gut microbiome is actually considered a whole new organ system in some new recent literature. Think about that. Some people have classified it as a whole separate organ system. And as a whole organ system, it actually affects our host's homeostasis and in turn our disease pathophysiology through close communication with your other multiple host organ systems in your body. So when you have this loss of balance between your helpful and pathogenic microbes in your gut microbiota, this causes damage to the intestinal lining, in which these pathogenic, meaning the bad ones, the microbes, generate holes or pores in the intestinal barrier, and this increased intestinal permeability is termed leaky gut. And this leaky gut is characterized by these loose, tight junctions between adjacent epithelial cells and a damaged intestinal mucus layer. Now, when the intestine becomes leaky, antigens, bacteria, endotoxins, toxins from the lumen would readily enter our systemic circulation. Now, that's kind of scary, right? You know, this leaky gut can lead to toxins getting into your bloodstream. So important to mention here is that leaky gut is observed along various diseases, including cardiovascular complications, diabetes, cancer, neurologic disorders, and we talked about a lot of these in last month's review. This is to refresh you on this. So improper lifestyles favored by sedentary patterns, disrupted circadian rhythms, and imbalanced diet with high fat, high glucose, low fiber, all prompt this loss of intestinal integrity and thus your leaky gut. Aging is generally accompanied by a gradual decline in this intestinal permeability and a low-grade inflammation. Such lifestyles and aging as a result increase the host, aka you and me, and make us vulnerable to dysbiosis regulated chronic diseases. And we'll talk a lot about that here and in the months to come, about these chronic diseases that are directly corresponding and the literature coming out talking about this dysbiosis and how it's related to chronic illnesses. Now let's talk about heart disease. Coronary artery disease refers to the narrowing or even blockages of the coronary arteries. The buildup of these plaques underneath the walls inside the coronary arteries highlights this atherosclerotic and inflammatory nature of heart disease. Now, coronary artery disease has a very high morbidity and mortality, posing a heavy burden globally on our healthcare system. So coronary artery disease mostly arises from atherosclerosis and is the most common type of heart disease worldwide. It affects millions of people, and there has been great vascular intervention technologies. You might have heard of stents using fancy devices and such that open up these plaques that end up building up in these coronary arteries, and open heart surgery. You may have known someone or seen someone or even performed open heart surgery yourself. You know that there are a lot of advances in this. And I mean, they're even using the robot to do open heart surgery these days. So there's a lot of attention focused on coronary artery disease. Even after our patients recover from coronary artery disease, there are fancy rehab programs for cardiac patients that are recovering from our open heart surgery. But the interesting part is that the risk for controlling coronary heart disease and the mortality from heart disease still remain high. This translates into a clinical problem that cannot be ignored in this day and age. The field of science is constantly improving and advancing. They're coming up with fancy diagnostic markers for coronary artery disease. And currently, common markers that are tested are fibrinogen, C-reactive protein, homocysteine, You know, you commonly see these maybe ordered by your patients for yourself, and they have been tested, but they really lack specificity or sensitivity in detecting these changes. And really, they only appear with patients that have severe and advanced stages of coronary artery disease. And thus, early diagnosis and intervention of coronary artery disease would be a great benefit to the clinical community for targeting early treatment. Now, let's take a look at the gut health and the heart and how they're connected. So there are numerous studies that found that there is an increased risk in coronary artery disease that may be related to changes in the structure of the gut microbiota. So this dysbiosis of the gut bacteria, remember that's the dysregulation of the gut bacteria, may be an important risk factor for developing coronary artery disease. And what's interesting is that in patients with coronary artery disease, the scientists have actually found that there is an increase in potential gut flora byproducts in certain patients with coronary artery disease versus the patients that don't have coronary artery disease. So to date, scientific articles have been published on this gut microbiome and contributing to coronary artery disease, but they've been insufficient at best. The mechanism of how the gut and the heart interact are not quite clear yet. But today we're going to look at some of the scientific research that has been put together that really draws us to how this correlation between the gut and the heart are related. Specifically, they talk about these particular gut bacteria. They're named. They're literally, you can get these tested to see if they are in your stool. And these three bacteria are major producers of short chain fatty acids. Now, I want to look back at short-chain fatty acids a little closer. We talked about short-chain fatty acids last month when we discussed how this helps with good health, healthy brain function, and all the likes. Butyrate is a common short-chain fatty acid discussed in the literature and in the media. There is now an abundance of evidence to show that short-chain fatty acids play an important role in the maintenance of health and development of just general disease. Short-chain fatty acids are a subset of fatty acids that are produced by the gut microbiota during the fermentation of partially and non-digestible polysaccharides. The highest level of these short-chain fatty acids are found in the proximal colon, meaning the first part of the colon, the large intestine, where they are used locally, meaning in that area, by enterocytes, and are transported across this gut epithelium into the bloodstream. So short-chain fatty acids produced by the gut microbiome serve as signaling molecules to control blood pressure, provide anti-inflammatory responses, and other metabolic functions like anti-cancer and neuroprotection. Being that these are lacking in coronary artery disease, they are not able to provide the protection that we need, these anti-inflammatory effects that our healthy gut could potentially give us. We're not seeing those in patients with coronary artery disease. And we actually see in these patients with coronary artery disease a dysregulated fecal microbiome profiles, which are correlated with impaired cholesterol metabolism, further adding to the effects of coronary artery disease. Now, another study mentioned is that they looked at bile acid imbalance. They propose that these patients with coronary artery disease have associated dysbiosis and potentially leading to bile acid imbalance and hence impaired cholesterol homeostasis. So to break it down yet another way, this gut microbiome is disrupted and giving you an additional risk of cardiovascular disease. High blood pressure, hypertension, another significant global morbidity and mortality serves as a major factor for causing coronary artery disease as well. Due to the silent nature of hypertension in some individuals, especially in the early stages, many people have undiagnosed hypertension and they really don't go see attention by a medical doctor or anybody because they don't recognize the symptoms. Well, recently, the gut microbiome has been suggested to participate in the regulation of blood pressure and hence the development of the diagnosis of hypertension. There have been several animal studies and some human studies to support this claim. So potentially we can look at this like a future intervention for your screening test would be looking at your microbiome to see if you have a risk factor for developing high blood pressure in your future. Now let's talk about aneurysms since we're talking about blood vessels. Aneurysms is an irreversible and permanent change to the vessel wall structure. Now let's talk about abdominal aortic aneurysms. So this is the resulting of the extracellular matrix in this aorta changing, and this is an irreversible change in this vessel wall, thus increasing it in size and causing it to be aneurysmal. The mortality rate of an abdominal aortic aneurysm rupture is really high. In a mouse model of a AAA, meaning abdominal aortic aneurysm, there is a positive correlation between a AAA diameter and the dysbiosis of the gut microbiome. This strongly is associated with an aortic aneurysm, and not just aortic aneurysms, but intracranial aneurysms and aneurysms throughout the body. And they found that this is worsened by dysbiosis. Now, since we're further talking about aneurysms and blood vessels and whatnot, let's talk about strokes. Now, a stroke, as you know, is when the brain tissue is not getting the oxygen it needs to function. That's why when you see someone that has a stroke, very simplistically speaking, you see lack of movement in an extremity or a body part, and that correlates to the very origination of where they are not getting blood to that particular part of their brain. So oxygen is lost being supplied to that area and therefore making a downstream effect of where you're not seeing that function for that patient who's having a stroke. So you may or may not know, but stroke remains the second leading cause of mortality and the third leading cause of disability globally, affecting nearly 25% of adults throughout their lifetime. And of note, during stroke and post-stroke recovery, this time has actually been studied in looking at the microbiome profile. Now, interestingly, I thought this was just so interesting, is that they did a mice study about this, and they looked at the microbiome of these mice who had strokes and looked at, did the gut microbiome change during their stroke recovery? Well, strikingly, the mice that had poorer gut microbiome and they had dysbiosis, meaning this dysregulation in their gut microbiome, they actually had a poorer recovery response from a stroke. And while the mice that had healthy gut microbiome, they actually had a better recovery in their post-stroke period. So this could really lead to some enhanced post-stroke recovery for our patients if we're considering the microbiome. Interestingly, I want to bring your attention to something that the article talked about that I thought was just so fascinating, is that there is a transmission of maternal microbiome to infants. And this was clinically proven as infants acquire this microbiome from the intestine, the skin, the oral cavity, and the vagina of the mothers. More importantly, the maternal microbiome profile and the resultant metabolic pool contribute to the programming of gut microbiome and immunity of the fetus. So in brief, there is this translocation of microbiomes from the maternal intestine to the placenta, resulting in a microbial colonization of the fetus. Moreover, the gut-derived metabolites from the mother, particularly the short-chain fatty acids, there we go again, these could be causing epigenetic alterations and subsequent immune programming in these fetus. So, therefore, it could be possible that maternal dysbiosis may predispose a child to having higher cardiovascular risk. Something to really think about here. I know we don't really talk about things, you know, if it affects us, we're like, oh, we'll deal with it. If my microbiomes and my gut are off, I will just live with it. But really, if we're thinking about our babies, our future children could be affected by our current microbiome in our gut, think about the longevity and the generational effect that this could have. Now, don't go down a rabbit hole here, but I'm just giving you something to think about. And should you be treating your gut microbiome better if you want to leave generationally this gut microbiome that's better for your children? Now let's switch over and talk about heart anatomy and structure. When we talk about the heart anatomy, we talk about the endothelial cells and the smooth muscle cells of the coronary vascular system. These are the frontline cells that first encounter the stream of gut-derived substances. So if and when you have a leaky gut, you have these toxins that are entering your bloodstream, these endothelial and smooth muscle cells are really the first line defense that sees these intraluminal substances. So endotoxins and gut-derived toxic substances could induce this dysfunction seen in these coronary arteries. Exposure to this elevated concentration of gut-derived toxic substances really poses a threat to the cardiomyocytes, which in layman terms, cardiomyocytes are just the heart cells. So recently people have been talking about this marker TMAO. So this stands for trimethylaline N oxide. So essentially people are seeing that this biomarker, which is now called a toxic biomarker, is really showing positively correlating with atherosclerotic lesions in coronary artery disease. One mentioned that this gut microbiome dependent TMAO production mechanistically links to a higher thrombosis potential in the vasculature. So this gut-derived toxic biomarker can actually impair the cardiomyocyte function and induce fibrosis and then hypertrophy. And this is all fancy words to say this causes more scarring and more problems in the cardiovascular coronary artery disease. So when we look at the vascular smooth muscle cells, these are really elemental components in the blood vessels, playing a critical role in arterial pathophysiology. So if you think about smooth muscles, they're really vasoactive. So they respond, they contract and change in shape. And these are responsive to different things like neurotransmitters, metabolites, and hormones. And these cells see these different vasoactive signals and they change according to what they see. They change their tone, they change the local blood flow, and they can change your overall blood pressure. So overgrowth of pathogenic microbes really enter your bloodstream and damage these intestinal integrity, reach up to the vascular smooth muscles of these vessels and cause dysregulated endothelial cell interactions. And then this causes further increasing oxidative stress and promotes inflammation of these vascular walls. I mean, just another way of how this gut-heart axis is affecting your overall chance of developing coronary artery disease. Wow, that was a lot. Yes, I know. And I really hope that you could see that this cardiovascular risk and how the gut have this interplay between the two. And really, we should be utilizing the resources to look into how can we better our gut microbiome? How can we test it to see if there are some early indicative factors for us to maybe give us a warning sign? Hey, like my gut microbiome is not good right now. Let's see what we can do to make it better so I can decrease the risk of my cardiovascular disease, being that it is the number one cause of death out there. With my final recommendations out there, I hope you really took away from this episode some solid science that convinces you that your gut health is so important. You really have a choice to decide what you're going to eat, how you're going to treat these gut microbiome, because ultimately there is that symbiotic relationship, that symbiosis. If you're doing something good for the gut bacteria will in turn release different substances that will help your cardiac risk factors. So it's truly your choice. And just remember, you don't have to change everything you're doing overnight. Really, just 1% better every day is what I tell people, and you can make this easily just today. And I have made this easier for you because I have made a link in the podcast notes that gives you a sheet to give you information about how to make some clean pantry swaps. Check it out and let me know what you think. I'm so excited you're here with me on this journey to a happier, healthier, and more optimistic you. If you ever wonder if clean eating is hard to do, well, I'm here to tell you it's not. And it's way harder to do if you're trying to DIY it all alone. It's much easier if you're surrounded by like-minded people that help lead you in the right direction. If clean living is something that you'd like and you're not experiencing it right now, let me allow you with Whole Body Optimism to introduce you to this new way of living. I'm so excited you stayed with me to the end, and I thank you so much for your time. And check us out for some more interviews. And next month, we're going to be reviewing another article focusing on your gut. See you next time.